Okay, here we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you. Welcome to Faith Foundations. I am Greg Stevens, and I am pinch hitting for the one, the only. There's none like her, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's. And we've been talking about who we really are in Christ and using your faith for that. And it's just an extreme honor and pleasure to be able to stand in front of you and in this desk and open the word together. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We magnify you. We lift up your holy name. There is none like you. You're everything that you promised and you sent the Holy Spirit. He's more than we ever expected. We thank you for that. We ask you to wash us in your word now, that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody that's in agreement would say amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so I talked to you last week about the fire, a holy place in us. And so we ought to be able to say where there's smoke, there's fire. Right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, because I've done this a little survey many times. What do you use your faith for? Anybody?
Everything.
Everything? What do you use your faith for? What mean? What? For the word to work in your life. Look at that. That's a first. I've never had anybody say that. That's interesting. Sir, really loud because I can't hear you back there. More power. Use your faith for more power. Okay. Anybody else want to venture out? What about you guys? Maybe get somebody to text me or something. If you get one, put it on the screen. Yes, ma'am.
To stay well.
To stay well. That's one I hear a lot for physical needs. And then you'll hear financial. You hear that one a lot. You hear physical needs a lot.
Protection.
Yes, ma'am. I can't hear you.
Emotional health.
Okay.
Protection for the family.
I can't hear you.
To please God.
You use your faith to please God. Interesting.
Victorious.
Interesting. Because this would be a different sample than if you were out teaching somewhere else. You're going to get different answers. I heard somebody say one time, for parking places. Okay. Well, listen, holiday shopping, I get it, right? Holiday shopping coming around. I didn't look to see if they had one of those little things you hang on your... I didn't look to see if they had that, but I'm just saying. I saw another hand from somebody. Where were you? Yes, ma'am.
The new thing that he's called for.
For new things that he's called forth. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Finances.
For finances and jobs. There's the number one one I hear. Healing and health for your body is number two I hear.
To stay in peace.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Protection over our family.
Yeah. Protection over your family.
Favor and wisdom.
Favor and wisdom.
Kind of the same for kids, over my kids.
Over your kids. Use your use their faith for her kids. I get that one. I get that. I absolutely get that. Hallelujah. That's all I got to say about that. So I wanted to know kind of what you use your faith for. What ways do we use our faith? And most people I hear from or talk to use their faith for healing and finances. And that's about as far as they go. Really, truly, that's about as far as they go. And that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not coming against you or coming against that. All right. But I rarely hear anybody say that they use their faith on their position of who they are in Christ. Now, I use my faith all the time right there, because Greg will say things and think things and get mad at trains or whatever else it is, right? And I'll have to remind myself that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am holy. Come on. Because the world won't tell you that. And other Christians sometimes won't tell you that. About your position of who you are and where you belong. And so I make a confession over myself all the time concerning that thing. John made a confession that he was the disciple that the Lord loved. That was his confession over himself. So, last Sunday I showed you how the temple was. Remember, God gave instructions to Moses, actually not the temple, the tabernacle of Moses. And he gave him instructions. And I showed you that now that we're born again, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Remember that? So I want to do a tiny little review, and that how that now he was to construct this physical building, but now we are that building, the scripture tells us, right? Do you have that tabernacle slide? If you have that, I'd like to put that up. Here it is. Look at this. The outer court, and then you had an inner court. These white blocks are stairways. And you had an outer court and an inner court. The altar was there. That's the bronze laver, by the way. Not the bronze layer, but the bronze laver. Just caught that. Pretend that's a V. Okay? So the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, the most holy place. And there was this veil that divided the holy place from the most holy place. This is where God's Spirit was. And now, because of Jesus, the veil was rent in two. This tabernacle has become you. The outer court is your flesh, what I'm looking at. The inner court is your soulish man, your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is your spirit. Now the veil of separation is gone, and this is your human spirit recreated and God's spirit together in one tabernacle, in here. So holiness comes from inside out, not from outside in. Now, I went to the church from outside in. It was not a fun place to be. Matter of fact, when the preacher would talk about holiness, everybody would duck. You'd get your shield of faith out. Oh, here we go. I know how I'm going to feel when I go home today. Just say it. And they loved God, thought they were doing the right thing, but were totally wrong. You have a holy place within you now. So now here's the thing. God is a consuming fire that has not changed. But you understand that's in you? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. That consuming fire of the Lord is in you.
Amen.
Not God. Is anybody be honest with me? That's a new thing for you. That's a little bit of a stretch you hadn't heard. Thank you for being honest. You're going to need to use your faith for that. See what I'm saying? You're going to have to retrain your mind to that. Renew your mind to this fact. That same power, that all-consuming fire is in me. He didn't have two kinds. Jesus said he would baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. John's baptism was with water. The same power that's going to burn everything up is within you now. It's the same power that created and recreated Jesus to come up out of hell. Come on, guys. See, the Father never changes. So where it's stored now in you has to change. That changed when you became born again, right? And you need faith for that. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I can't feel it. That's a good thing. That's good. See, because you're sealed by the Spirit, you don't feel it. Because your feelings are out here. It's soulish realm and flesh, not your spirit. If you felt it, it'd burn you up. Because it burns flesh up. Oh my. So how do I release it? You release that holy place by faith. It's placed in there by grace. You received it by faith when you accepted Jesus, when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Father always works from the inside out, not the outside in. Religion does that. The prophet was looking for the next true king of Israel, and he gives some instructions in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Let me read it to you. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him." And he's talking about David's brothers. "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He's looking at the spirit of a person. Come on, guys. So he's already telling you right now, I'm not looking at your skirt length, hair length. Makeup, no makeup. Listen, some folk just need makeup. I'm just saying. I'm just. Please, Jesus. Matthew chapter 23. Let me show you this. Jesus doing this exact same thing. Because everything Jesus did is fulfillment of what had been done before in the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 23. This is called the, I call it the anti-beatitudes. Remember when the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are this, blessed are that, blessed. He'll go through a series of 7 to 9. I don't remember exactly now how many. I don't want to give a number because I don't want you to write me and say, it wasn't 9, it was 7. I don't remember now exactly how many it was. He'll say, woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law. That was not a fun day. That's sweet little Jesus preaching that. I had somebody say not too long back, I was in a store up here in Fort Worth, and somebody said, I like Brother Copeland. I just don't like it when he gets on me. And I'm thinking, you won't like Jesus. Just saying. You know, Matthew 23, verse 25 here. Woe to you, scribes and Frankensteins, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Wow. Blind Pharisee. My God. First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Look at that. Look at that. Can you leave that up here? Look at this. First cleanse the inside of the cup, that the outside will be clean. If you want to clean something up, clean the inside of it up first. The outside will then follow. My flesh will follow. My soul, as I renew my mind to the Word of God, will follow. If you want somebody clean, talk to their spirit man. Instruct their spirit man. Build up their spirit man. What'll happen is the outside will follow. It has no choice. All right, so this gentleman right here. I think you're bigger than me. I should pick somebody smaller than me. If I use my hand and I double my hand up like this and I just, bam, right in his face, I can do that. Would you agree? I need to run, but I can do that. I can take the same hand, though, and lay hands on him in the name of Jesus, right? The hand had no choice. The hand just did whatever it was instructed to do. Your flesh has no choice. It's going to do what it's instructed to do. The outside of the cup will follow whatever's in here. If I fix what's in here, the outside will follow. It might take a while with some, but it will happen, right? Isn't that interesting that Jesus says the same thing that the Father is saying to the prophet Samuel? When the inside is right, the outside will follow. Last week I read you a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it said this, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and thus the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now, let me go to that. Let's go to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's dissect that just a little bit. Do you mind? Talking about the inside of the cup, learning to live from the inside out. Many of these, if you want, how are the sons of God recognized? The sons of God do what? If you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Where's the Spirit of God? In my flesh? It's in here. It's the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, Brother Copeland. Brother Hagin talked about that inner man. All right? Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I'm going to tell you, some of you, you may have to use your faith on that. Because you're going to look at yourself and see your action doesn't line up with that. Well, it will. You keep at it. Listen, new believers, somebody asked me it was yesterday, Pastor, what do you think of this whole Kanye thing? I said, good for him. Keep going, Kanye.
That's right.
Yes. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I feel like I was Foghorn Leghorn right there. I say. You remember those old cartoons? I say, son, you want to be a chicken hawk. I mean, that's exactly what that guy did. Now, wait. I say, wait a minute there, sir. That's what the guy did to me. Now I'm going to look at that guy and think of that cartoon, Foghorn Leghorn. Listen. He's a baby, right? He'll grow, but we need to help him. Not chop him down. All right, let's go back in that verse to verse 1. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but they are spiritual people. They are spiritual people. They're born again. They have every move of the Spirit happening in their service. But they're not mature. Uh-oh. Could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you're still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, what's he talking about when he says mere men? You're not, see, you need to understand, you're not mere men. You have that tabernacle that God described to Moses in you now.
Come on.
With no veil of separation. You have that consuming fire in you. God. This is why you got to learn to temper it and use it correctly. Can't talk like a fool. Did he call me a fool? No, didn't call your name. But you can't speak like that. You can't curse all the time and then try to bless. You can't be carnal. You can't be having envy and strife and divisions. Divisions among you. Isn't that interesting? Let's go on. Verse 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, the Spirit-filled church. Here's what this verse reminds me of. Do you remember the word? Brother Copeland came in here and spoke at this church, and he had a word about divisions in the body. Matter of fact, it's been a while, so let me play it again for you. Right now, watch this.
There are those that are called and anointed to teach and preach praise and worship and glory.
Amen.
There are people called in that flow. And you hear people say, well, they're not in our camp. I tell you, I despise that term. I despise it. I was visiting with Kelly about it just in the last few days, and it's not in our camp. Come on. We don't have a camp. Absolutely, we don't have a camp. We're the kingdom of God. We are the church, glory to God. And thank God for people who know to what they're called.
Amen.
And stay in it, glory to God. And don't venture out of it. There are specialists. Now we've learned this. Let's take the most exact example and illustration that I know. There are general practitioners, general family medicine. Amen. That would be more like the pastor. But even a general practitioner knows to whom and to what he or she is called.
And we know what we're called to, and we stay in it. And we don't criticize the guy that stays in what they're called to. Because we're all working together. We're on the same team. We're part of the branch office.
Amen.
Right? So that what Paul is writing there goes hand in hand with what Brother Copeland just had a word from the Lord from. Right? Don't say I'm Paul and I'm Apollos. They're dividing themselves into camps. The Spirit-filled church at Corinth was dividing itself into camps. I'm Paul. I'm Apollos. I'm Peter. Come on now. Let me go forward in that chapter. You ready? Let's go on forward. Let's look at this. Where am I going next? Verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Paul's writing this, right? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, now this is a very interesting thing that Paul will do right here. So then, he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He's like, we're nothing. But then he goes on, watch this. Next verse. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. He's saying Paul and Apollos are one. We're on the same team here. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Isn't that interesting? So Paul is saying, I will receive a reward and Apollos will receive an award, each one according to our own labor, our own works. Now stay with me because I'm going to help you understand works versus grace. You okay? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are, look at this word. You are God's building. There's that tabernacle. You see that?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You're God's building. These verses show us how you and I partner with God. You need planters and you need those that water. You need both, a planter and a waterer. The planter and the one who waters will each receive a reward according to his own labor. Let's pick it up at verse 10. You get anything out of this? You okay? All right, here we go. Verse 10. Look at this one. You're going to like this. Now it's going to get fun. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. That's verse 1. That's okay. We'll do it again. I don't want you to be unaware of all your thought. Wait, it's according to the grace. Okay, here it is, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me. Now look at this. As a wise master builder, it's an interesting phrase. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Paul is not intimidated that somebody came in and built upon the foundation that he had laid. When he said, as a wise master builder, that is a rabbinic term. Do you understand? Paul was trained by the best of the best. Paul was one of the brightest and smartest of all of Israel in his time in Judaism. He was trained by Gamaliel, trained then by Hillel. That's his pedigree and his lineage. The best of the best. And he says, he refers to himself as a wise master builder. It's a rabbinic term. And it means the office of the teacher. Isn't that interesting? So he stands, he's an apostle, but he stands in that office of a teacher here. All right, where'd I stop? Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so you were born again, right? Let's stop right there. You're born again. That's your foundation of every believer is Jesus. His death, burial, and resurrection. You believed by faith, received that grace of that new birth. You are a recreated spirit. We all have that foundation. That's the foundation of the house. By faith, you were saved. Yes? Correct? So we all have that. You didn't get saved by John the Baptist. You got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in that name. saved you, healed you, cleansed you, recreated your spirit. Correct. So we all, every last one of us, whether you go to this church or the Baptist church, have that same foundation. Now, everything else that we build on top of that will determine our house will look different based upon what's built on top of that. But that's the foundation. Here in Texas, most of the houses, I'm looking to see if we have any builders, contractors in here. Most of the builders, contractors in Texas, it's a slab. It's a concrete slab on the ground. Other places have piers and you go to Louisiana and the houses are that high off the ground, right? But then the outside of the house and everything that's in it is different, right? Based upon what's built on top of the foundation. But the foundation's the foundation. It's rebar and concrete in this part of the country, right? But then the elevation and everything that's the roof line, all of that's different based upon the same foundation. We all have the same foundation. Now look at this, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. To be in the kingdom of the Lord, you have to have that foundation. And then everything that you built on top of that will be subject to something. Your works are built on top of this. What you do in the kingdom is now built on top of that foundation. Come on now. You with me? Your works are not to get the foundation. And your works are not to get God to bless you or to heal you or take a liking to you or pay attention to you. Your works are what's being built. So Brother Copeland is building a certain type of house in you. You see that? Okay, let's go. Next verse. Where are we at? Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, which is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, and then he switches, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Okay? For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. The day, he's referring to a particular day. And on that day is when Jesus will come as a consuming fire and burn everything up. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. The fire does not test you. Why? You're on the foundation of what sort it is, what kind of work it is. Let's go on. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures the fire, if anyone's work withstands the fire, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss of what was burned. But he himself will be saved. Let me show it to you. Let me go over here. But he himself, this guy, we're talking about this guy whose everything got burned up. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Why? Because he's got the foundation. You cannot burn that foundation. Isn't that beautiful? So he says, I'm a wise master builder. A rabbinic term. A teacher. And that's why he also, because he's a teacher, has a warning with this. Take heed how you build on it. Okay? So we're building on a foundation of our salvation or our faith. Your future reward, listen to this. Now this is, see if you can track with me on this. Your future reward is how you do rather than what you do. Okay? Works done by faith and grace are rewarded. Works done by flesh will be burned. Are you okay? Okay, example. Give me an example. Okay, let me try to give you an example. I know this doesn't happen to any of you, probably not to you. It's happened to Myth Guy. You're on your way to church. And by the way, Michelle is not here today, so this did not happen this morning. Just thought I needed a disclaimer. You're on your way to church. You get into a assertive communication. What do you mean by that? Well, Michelle and I don't fight. We've had assertive communication a time or two, but not fighting. Really and truly, we really don't fight. So you have an assertive communication moment. Who knows why? Probably something silly, right? And you're fussing at each other, and you're all mad on your way to worship Jesus. And you're walking that door with big smiles on your face, still mad, with daggers in your back, saying, I wish I'd have said this. I'll say that after church. Right? Nobody in here. Just hypothetical. But it was carnality. In a spirit being. What, both of you have the same foundation. So now offering time. It's offering time. Okay, normally EMIC does something different than that. In a little while, somebody will stand up there and go, it's offering time. There you go. And so those two with the same foundation with daggers in their backs will give. He'll give and she'll give. He throws 20 in there. She throws 5 in. She's already repented of that, said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have come like that. I shouldn't have been like that. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. I ask you to forgive me for that. I let all that go. She's in her place of worship. He's still... I'm picking on us, guys. He throws 20 in the plate. She throws 5 in. Which one gets burned? Because of the heart. Because of the attitude in which it was sown, when the fire comes, his bigger gift will be burned. Doing all right, Spencer? It's all about, Jesus said it. It's about, Father said, I look at the heart. Jesus said, you wash the outside of the cup and you don't wash the inside. I'm trying to wash the inside of the cup today. So if I change my attitude, I change my spirit man, I use 1 John 1:9 to repent of that. It's now under the blood to be never brought up or remembered no more, which means it won't be burned up when I see Jesus. When I see him, I don't know how I will be, but I know this, I'll be like him. You know why? Because the consuming fire is going to come from within me and just go whoosh. And in the moment of a twinkling of eye, I will be transformed. See, that's what I believe. I truly believe that the fire in us will connect to the fire in him and everything will be burned up. My flesh, everything will just go whoosh and I'll become like he is at that rapture moment. So all the things that were flesh are burned up. Some folk have everything burned up. And all they've got is the foundation, but they got the foundation and they're not consumed. If you don't have the foundation, honey, it won't be pretty. So the attitude of what I've done, all my works that were done for me to be recognized, for me to be noticed, for me, come on, with the wrong, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the dividing line in that. I have prayed that so many times, Father. I do not know the dividing line on this. You do. You know, even to the cellular level, what's me and my ambition and what's you and what you've placed in me. And I don't know if this is a Greg's ambition thing or if this is a dream and desire you've put in me. I'm going to pursue it like it's a dream and a desire you put in me. But I just repent right now if it was Greg's flesh and ambition. I pray that all the time in faith. Why? Because I don't want everything burned up. Well, as long as I make it, I don't care. Here's the thing. Honestly, and I agree with you. Honestly, I agree with you. But personally, maybe this is just me, but I want to have some crowns to lay down at his feet. I don't want to just go. I want some crowns. some awards to take off of me and to lay at his feet. Because that's what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to that day. Holy God. Oh, Lord Jesus. So it's done with the motive. If it's done with any other motivation than faith and grace, it's burned up. Now, you can burn it up now because you have that Holy Spirit in you. You have the word, 1 John 1:9. You can burn it up right now. It'll never be remembered again. It's an act of unrighteousness. I can burn it up before he burns it up. You don't realize the power that's in you. See, guys, that's holiness. Holiness is our good works with the right heart. The Holy Spirit fire within us, purging our minds. This is why I pray every single time. I don't know if you've ever caught on to it. Wash us in your word. When Brother Copeland comes to speak, and I'm sitting in that chair right there, as he comes up there to speak, I'm like, Father, right now, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, wash me in this word. Purge everything that's not like you. Now, see, I'm not saying I'm a dirty, rotten worm. What I'm doing is I'm aligning myself with that spirit of holiness. Amen. Because he's not changed. He's not changed at all. Okay, let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Have you learned anything? Light bulbs go off. Here's how you got the foundation. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, I didn't build the foundation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now look at this. Can you go back to the other verse in front of this? Verse 9. For grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, for it's the gift of God. Next verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So remember that. Not of works. Next verse. For we are his workmanship, for good works. Not of our works, but for good works. You see it? You see the difference there? Not saved by works, but saved for works for him. Let me show you Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. See, when he returns, he'll purge everything with a consuming fire. But I don't have to wait for that day. I have that resident on the inside of me, and I can try my works now. Is what I'm doing out of a heart of love for him, or is it to get something from him? Is it out of a heart of love for him, or is it to be recognized by somebody else? Ouch. Ouch, 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 ouch. Okay, Luke chapter 1. The oath which he swore, this is verse 73. I didn't tell you what verse. This is John the Baptist's father prophesying right here. Jesus is coming into the world. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we be delivered from the hands of our enemies might serve him without fear. Serve him without fear. Without fear. What I'm trying to tell you today is you can serve him and you don't have to, I don't have to preach fear to you to get you to conform.
Exactly.
Now the pastor, when I was a kid, that was not the case. Was not the case, man. My God, I was scared. Any of you grow up Catholic? Go to Catholic school and the nuns? I mean, I watched, we were in Israel with a guy, bless God, I'll never forget this, big fireman went to our church. He's a fire captain, actually. He's a captain. Big guy. And we're at the Mount of the Beatitudes, where blessed is the peacemakers, right? And there was this little nun, she's in heaven now. There was this little nun there. Oh, man. She scared me, and I wasn't Catholic. But I watched him turn 7 years old when she came up to him and she had this little stick in her hand. And she came up to him and he and I were talking about something and I was whispering. Well, Elena, were you on that trip? I was whispering and talking about, he actually stood probably there and that's it. And we're just talking quietly. And she came up and got right in our faces. She looked right at him and went, shh, it's a holy place, slapped her little stick. I saw it in him. He was 7 years old again in Catholic school. Fear came all over that guy. I'm not joking, sweat. I could see it. And we walked outside. He's like, man, I remember them. You know, that's exactly what I remember them. Nuns like that. Well, we had it in the Pentecostal church too. Preacher wasn't preaching good till he was mad at you and dangling you over hell. I mean, it's just the way it was. And you didn't go lifted up and built up. So you served him out of fear. But I got a prophecy right here saying this, grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies. You were delivered, my God, from the hand of your enemy. You have a foundation of Jesus Christ. You were delivered. Might serve him without fear. I don't have to fear the burning that's coming because I have the foundation. And I can judge myself now and take care of it.
Hallelujah.
I just don't want nobody to know about that. Then take care of it. It'll be remembered no more. Now let's go to the next verse. That we might serve him without fear in holiness, there it is, and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Look at this. Holiness and righteousness has nothing to do with fear. Oh, wish I'd have known this so long ago. It just saved me a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration. Holiness has nothing to do with fear. It has everything to do with relationship. And I have a holy sanctuary, the tabernacle, in here now. With that consuming fire in me now. And I can live before him all the days of my life. You got to understand, when he started to say perform mercy, promise to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, that's the prophet sitting right there. That's the priest saying, he's making a covenant promise right there. He's reminding God of his covenant, and his covenant he never forgets. Never alter his covenant. So my covenant, if he's talking about the covenant here, Abraham's covenant was not a covenant of fear. And you've been grafted into Abraham, not Moses. Moses, there's some fear there, I'm just saying. Right? But not Abraham. So because cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing is part of the covenant, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Why does he say it might? Or why shouldn't it be an automatic? It's a might because we have to do this by faith. Okay? It's available to you. You have the same foundation. But by faith, we've learned a little bit in it. We've built a different house upon it. But we're not a different camp. We have the same foundation. You with me? So it's a covenant promise. Serve him with fear in holiness. I'm in holiness. I'm holy. Now, Greg has to use his faith for that. Right? There's a difference between godly holiness and cultural holiness. Cultural holiness will tell you women can't wear makeup. You can't wear this. You can't do that. This is what you can do. That's what you can't do. Hey, welcome. I'm so glad you're saved. Now, stop doing this and start doing this. Right? I'm like, I got to learn all this new stuff I got to do. What I can't do. There's a difference between it. His holiness never changes, ever. Philippians chapter 2, real quick, we'll wind it up. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Look at this. We work out our faith. That's us. That's our faith. We're working what's in us out. That's our faith. See? God is the one that's working within. When he works within and I release my faith, it's working without. See it? He's working within. When I use my faith, it's working without. Now I have a treasure that will not be burned up. See it? Our relationship with God because of Jesus and the cross is declared sacred. It's a holy place. God is only for me and never against me. Right? God hasn't changed because of the cross. We changed because of the cross. He didn't change because of the cross. We changed. And there's coming a day when we don't know what we will be, but we know we will be like him. My God. Glory to God. Well, what if you were that guy and you're mad at your wife and Jesus comes back? Okay? On the way up, that's going to get burned up. That's good news. But the foundation's there. He's not going to sit there and stay there. He's got the foundation. He's going. But there's going to be a flame attached to him. He'll look like a comet. Some people will be really bright. Woo! You got to show me that in the Bible. I'll find it and I'll show you. God hasn't changed because of the cross. We did. We are made holy with Christ. Our faith is a faith of action. It's not mental assent. Faith changes us and our surroundings, guys.
Yeah, Lord.
Titus chapter 3, 8 and 14 says, tells us to be careful to maintain good works. I'm not turning to it. We're just going to move on. All right? We should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, it says. Okay? Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to love and to good works. See that? Hebrews 12:14, follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. Our good works is what points people to God, not sin. You can get results doing a sin revival. You can get results. But are they lasting results? But boy, if they see your good works, if they see your love, if they see your faith, I'm telling you, they're drawn like a magnet. If you'll walk around with a big old silly grin on your face during this holiday shopping season and just blessing people, because there's going to be some places that won't want to say Merry Christmas to you. So don't correct them and go, it's Christmas. It's about Jesus. Not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus. Well, we know that. So when they say happy holidays to me, I'll go, well, happy holy days to you. Just bless them. Just be a blessing. Just be nice. Just smile at somebody. My God, this is our holiday.
Yes, it is.
This is when the light came in the world and the light is in me. I'm built upon that foundation. And our good works, our faith, our love is what's going to turn people to him. Not telling them that you're a dirty, rotten sinner. They know they're dirty, rotten sinners. Dogs bark, sinners sin. It's what they do. We know that. Yes?
Yes?
So allow that change to shine forth in you. Emmanuel, God with us. Not God mad at us. It's with us. Never leave you nor forsake you. So allow that to shine. Start it on this Turkey Day, on Thanksgiving. Start it with that old uncle of yours. Right? Just be loving. They start talking about Trump, you just smile and love them. They start talking about Brother Copeland and I'm right there. Just smile and love them. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Let the consuming fire in you be a fire of God's grace and his love. And you're going to see a whole new change in everybody around you. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? All right. We're going to take a break. Pastor George in just a moment. See you soon.